There are laws that say you can't do lemonade stands here in the United States.
Welcome to the Rogue Startups Podcast, where two startup founders are sharing lessons learned and pitfalls to avoid in their online businesses. And now, here's Dave and Craig.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Rogue Startups. This week, Dave and I are going to be talking about family and parenting, kind of on the heels of Father's Day, both here in France and in the U.S. It's a good time to be kind of chatting about, I think, the stuff that really matters and not just business and MRR every month. Right, Dave?
I would agree. And let me start off by saying happy Father's Day to you, a couple of days late, of course.
Likewise, thank you.
Yes, yes. It's often hard to remember why you're going through all of this stuff, especially when you're in the middle of like all of the pain. And you know, I don't know what you guys did for your Father's Day. We can talk about that in just a minute. But you know, for our Father's Day, we kind of had a low key thing. We went over to my parents' house later because our house is still in floor refinish hell. It's finally done, but there's no furniture here, so we can't really do anything. We're always hanging out upstairs or outside or something. But anyway, so my kids gave me like handmade cards, and my 13-year-old wrote me this amazing poem, which just totally melted my heart when I read it. She was just, you know, she was amazed at how I was like doing all these different things and working and helping her with studying and taking all of the family members off to various family activities and there to do fun things and blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, you know, on the verge of tears reading this thing.
Sure.
But, you know, it totally reminded me like, why is it that I want to do all of this? It's so that I've got all of this time that I'm getting while they're growing up and making a big difference in their life, you know, because once they're out of the nest, your influence goes way, way down, you know?
Yeah. So, and what age are
now or never.
What age are your kids?
So my youngest is 8.5. She'll turn 9 in August. And then my other two are 10.5 and, 13.5, almost 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's prime time, right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely prime time. Like you want to definitely be present and there and, you know, like this is when it counts right now.
Yeah, I mean the 14-year-old, you got about 3 days left until she hates you, right? So like you better make the most of it while you can. And I think all of us, whatever, you have family or you have a significant other or you have the whatever is important in your life. It doesn't have to be family and kids and the traditional kind of nuclear family, right? It can be whatever's the most important thing to you is the most important thing to you, and that's what should matter. And a lot of us, I think, are on this journey so that we can spend time focusing on what's most important to us. And I mean, I think generally my kind of like theme for talking about this kind of stuff is like, you gotta make your family a priority because you can always just work. Like I can always come into my office here and work. And you can always make an excuse that like, I'm going to go be altruistic and like, I'm going to go work for our family. But really you should be organizing your business and your business life so that you can spend more time with your family and not just go work all the time, because then you might as well just have a job and cut out all the risk that we all have, right?
Well, it certainly would give you a lot less brain damage, right?
Yeah. No, totally. Totally. And I mean, I think that there's a lot of like, you know, work hard, 80-hour weeks, double-digit growth every month kind of pressure on all of us. And that's cool, I think, and that's fine, and I hope we all can, you know, grow our business and increase our wealth and all this kind of stuff. But I think if you do that at the expense of the thing that you're doing all of this for, then it's a little short-sighted, I guess what I kind of get at. But and like Father's Day is a good example of that. I think it's like everybody for one day is like all about dad, you know, and so like I think it's a time where maybe you get a little more time to reflect about like all the great stuff that's going on in your life. And your daughter writing you that poem is like a great example of like kind of forcing you to take a step back and reflect on that. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely made me – it gave me a moment of, you know, call it a gold star, right?
Yeah.
Where all of the effort that I've put in to try to achieve some sort of a work-business balance and what, you know, what are my goals for doing this in the first place – is it really working out? Like I got a pretty solid touchstone from my daughter is very, very self-aware and, you know, is also becoming more emotionally and situationally aware. So she gets the subtext that goes on, you know, between my wife and I and the family in general. And so, you know, she's starting to ask more interesting questions about, you know, family dynamics and what are we doing here and what's this like and why can't, you know, it's just not about black and white questions anymore. Like, why can't we go to the movies all the time? Like, well, because we've got other things to do. It costs money to go to the movies and you got chores and mm-hmm. school and this and that, you know, like my other two still are in those sort of black and white question phase. But to see that awareness suddenly bloom into realizing that, you know, she's got a dad that's there and doing things with her and doing things for her and present. And, you know, I mean, it definitely made me feel really good about the choices that I've made and the struggles that we've gone through and, you know, the obstacles that we've overcome and everything. So yeah, that was a good moment.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's funny. My kids, you know, we'll be sitting around breakfast and it's great right now. Like I get the kids up every morning. We have breakfast together as a family, walk the kids to school. Like it's really like Mayberry, right? And like before, man, I was like out the door at 5 o'clock in the morning, a bunch of mornings and like never saw the kids and all this kind of stuff. And now they give me hell for like, oh, you work so much. I'm like, whoa. take a step back,
you
man.
You have no idea.
You yeah. don't remember 2 years ago. I literally was working all the time, gone 2 nights a week, all this kind of stuff. And now, like, right now, it's 9 o'clock at night, and they're going to bed, and I'm in here podcasting. And they're like, oh, you have to go to work. That's lame. Why can't you hang out with us and watch a movie? I'm like, this is not so bad. So I think you gotta like, I don't know, maybe for me, like the point there, the lesson is like, it's a little relative in our family's eyes, right? Like, it's a lot better now for me than it was, but for them, they still say like, wow, dad works all the time. Not
right,
true.
Right.
Not true, but from their perspective, whatever.
My middle daughter has the exact same moment with me. So anytime I like, pull up the laptop and maybe there's a quick customer inquiry, I can answer it in 5 minutes. And it's something that's fairly like, you know, it's a high criticality, important sort of thing with a low amount of friction that I can just get it and the customer's going to be happy. And it's not like other things are going on. If I wander into my office and do that, she'll be like, dad, you're not supposed to be working on a Saturday. I'm like, oh my God, I'm taking 5 minutes here. So, yeah, I mean, there's definitely relative things in there. And, I, you know, I try to do these things when they don't really have direct time with me anyway. Like, I take the kids to martial arts, and I spend 3 fucking hours at this place on Saturday. and it's not even contiguous either. So I get a 2-hour block and a 1-hour block. So what I end up doing often is I'll just take my laptop with me, and if there's, like, email follow-ups or, you know, just kind of stuff that I don't have to think too hard about or stuff that's really, you know, like customer support that needs to get done or plug-in questions or whatever, I'll just do it during that time. But I still get grief from the kids about it because they're like, oh, why aren't you watching me? I'm like, you're not even watching me out here. Too busy in the class anyway, and why the hell do you care about what I'm doing? I see what they're doing in class, and a lot of the time it's the same sort of stuff. So after you've seen it 6 times, you're sort of like, all right, you know, I pay attention during their tests and when they're doing specific things, but like just general class stuff, you know, it's not all that exciting to see it. And after you've seen it 6 times, you're kind of like, all right, I've seen what I need to see here.
Right, right.
But you know,
right.
Like on their tests, I'm like totally focused. I'm there. No phone, no laptop. I'm like watching them, cheering them on. But yeah, it's interesting. To them, it's all relative. Like if there's even a small percentage of time that they see me on the computer, they're like, ah, oh, dad, you're working again. Why are you working so much?
Yeah. Yeah.
you don't really understand. This could have been much worse. Like, I could be traveling all the time. There was a time that I was traveling like 75 to 100% of the time. Not, this is before I was married. And it was clearly incompatible with kids. But, you know, they don't see that, so they don't know that this is so much better than that, right? So mm-hmm. to them, it's just what's their world, and their world is, hey, Dad pulls out his laptop every now and then, and he's not playing with me, so therefore he must be working all the time, right?
Right, right. No, totally, totally. I mean, I think it's important. You work at home as well, and I know it's important to have kind of boundaries. And we've just brought someone on for support for Castos in the last 2 weeks, which is great because now Ben handles support. I tell him, you know, after like 6 o'clock, I'm out of here unless like the building is on fire, and then Slack me or WhatsApp me. But you need to be able to handle everything between like 6 o'clock my time, which is noon Eastern time, and the end of the day. And everything else, whatever, just leave it for me. I'll do it in the morning so that like I might peek in every once in a while in the evening or after kids go to bed. But like that time in the afternoon when the kids get home from school is almost all about them. And lately, the entire weekend, I'm gone. Like maybe I'll get up early on like Saturday or Sunday morning and come in and do like email or support or whatever for like whatever until the kids get up. But and you ask about like this weekend, I totally unplug for at least one day, like 24 hours, no computer at all. Because, I mean, I know like, you know, folks who listen to this show for a while, like when we had Sherry Walling on, gosh, Dave, 3 months ago when she launched her book, I was in a bad spot, man. I was stressed the fuck out. I was like, you know, having like physical signs of stress and stuff. And I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I didn't do all of this crazy shit and move halfway across the world and all this stuff to be like, you know, killing myself. So I say like now the businesses are like all stable enough and we make enough money to live that like I got to take some time to like be with my family and not be half plugged into work all the time and all this kind of stuff. And like, it's really, really helpful to be like, tell the team, hey, I don't expect anyone to work on the weekend, but if you do and something comes up, unless it's an absolute, like, we're not going to be in business on Monday, don't bother me. Don't put it in Slack. Don't do anything. And we'll just deal with it on Monday. Cause like what you find, what I found at least, and this has been like about 6 weeks I've been doing this, it doesn't matter, right? Nobody expects you to like show up on Sunday morning to answer their support questions. And if you,
I should introduce you to some customers.
No, but I mean, it's a little funny because like, if you just leave it, either it's not going to matter or it will resolve itself over the weekend, right? Like people will be like, I really want this to work.
True.
I understand these guys aren't going to work on Sunday, so I need to go figure it out. We have decent documentation at least, so people should be able to figure a lot of stuff out. And worst case, they're going to cancel anyhow. Best case, they figure it out on their own, and you don't spend, whatever, an hour on Sunday dealing with customer support, which for me, like, I don't know, at this point support is okay, but it still is like kind of an emotional drag on me. Like, I just get down with, like, support and people being critical of what we do and your stuff sucks and all this kind of stuff. It still like personally kind of gets at me. So anyways, like my, like in the evenings, I choose some days to not check in at all. And most days I check in a little bit just to make sure that, you know, shit isn't blowing up, but it makes like the next day better for me. But on the weekends, I definitely have like a 24-hour period of just no computer. And it's really been nice.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I mean, when I hired Bobby about a year and a half ago, that was when we sort of changed the support hours. And just before I hired Bobby, I basically instituted the office hours in Help Scout, so it actually notified you if you were outside the office hours.
Yeah.
So anybody who sent like requests on the weekend got this, hey, you know, we're not in the office right now, but we'll get to this thing by blah, blah, blah. And I think that's been hugely helpful so that they get an immediate response and it sets up expectations. And I've noticed just in general over time in that year and a half time, support requests have dropped off on the weekends because I still see them show up on my email and my phone because I still have that account attached to my phone. for whatever reason, I can't let that go. I don't answer it anymore for most part, but if something like urgent were to come up, I'd at least be aware of it.
Yeah.
I probably at this point should just shut it off because I haven't really seen anything so unbelievably urgent that I needed to be connected to it except during Monday through Friday 8 to 5, basically. But be that as it may, it still has given me an interesting data point that all of these people that have submitted things on the weekends have done exactly what you just said. They either resolved it themselves or they waited until Monday when we showed up. And the ones that were really pissed off, they get a refund and they walk away. You know,
and they very, very likely would have anyhow. And I don't mean to be
– Yeah, or they were going to be a pain in the ass and you probably would have given them the refund.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And I hope that doesn't come across as arrogant, but I think – and I just am coming to this point because, I mean, I lived in a world of like you literally would bend over backwards to keep your customers happy in my job before because, I mean, you only had 20 customers, right? So, like, you have to keep all of them really happy, like in my day job before. And so, like, it carried over a lot to my vision of what support was like now. And with Podcast Motor, I guess, like, we have, you know, 30 customers or something. So we do a lot to keep them happy. But with Castos, I mean, we have hundreds of customers, right? So, like, if one customer or two customers in a week is not happy, that's not great, but that's not going to kill the business, you know, especially like the night or the weekend or whatever.
Right.
And I think if you can say like, generally, we're going to keep 90% of the people happy all the time, you're good. And everyone else is going to bitch about it anyhow.
There's always customers that are obnoxious and toxic and a pain in the ass. And there's absolutely zero you're going to be able to say to make them happy. The best you can do is just make them feel not pissed off, you know, give them the refund and let them walk away or whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, to my own sanity, it makes a huge difference to not answer the support on the weekends unless I choose to, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'll do it just because, you know, it's something that's going to make them unbelievably happy. It's super easy. I'm sitting there anyway. Why not? But I don't have to. Like, it's my choice to do it.
Yeah.
And I notice that if I do reply a lot of the times, it kind of sets an expectation. Oh, hey, Dave replied to me on a Saturday. Let's try it again on a Sunday, you know?
Mm.
And so, you know, I make it sort of it's a bonus thing. Like, if I do this, great. But I'm certainly not required to. And it's stated very clearly what our expectations are. And when you've got, you know, 4,000, 3,000 odd paying customers in the plugins, you just can't be there 24/7. It just ain't going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, something I think about a lot is like the world that our families and our kids and stuff are growing up in, seeing people that are around all the time and are kind of making, I don't want to say something from nothing, but kind of making their own way in the world. And I wonder sometimes, like, if our kids will react or kind of, like, adopt the world that we're living in. You know, like, will they say, Dad is at the computer all the time. I want a job where I'm just, like, talking to people all the time and in an office. Or are they going to say, wow, Dad's job is so great. We can travel and we can do whatever we want anytime we want. And Dad can keep working if he needs to. I want to have a job with the freedom like that. I don't know, my kids are 5 and 7, so like we're not anywhere near that yet, but I think at least is interesting and opens their minds to see like, oh, my dad does this, and maybe like they explain it to their friends at school, like, oh, you know, their friends say, oh, what does your dad do? Oh, my dad works in Geneva. Oh, my dad plays on his computer all day. Like, what does that make them think really about, like, I don't know, what we do? I don't know. Do you ever think about that? Like, what your kids seeing you do this all the time now will mean for their kind of professional future?
You know, I've kind of wondered that a little bit. So, you know, my kids are old enough to start talking about what they want to be when they grow up and have, like, you know, a degree of seriousness associated with it. Not the, you know, I want to be a firefighter or a ballerina kind of thing. But, like, my youngest is saying, you know, after her last year where they kind of – she goes to a STEM school, so they do some mandatory engineering in the curriculum. And now she's really excited about that. Like, she wants to be an engineer or an inventor. And so I think for her, it's about the hands-on aspect. And she just likes to work with her hands and figure things out and puzzle through problems. And I don't know that she really sits here and looks at what I do and say, you know, I hate what Dad does. I don't want to do that. She's just kind of got her own idea about that. My oldest, she actually spends a fair amount of time on her computer as well, because all of the things, she's going to the same STEM school, and all of the work that they do is through the laptop. There's Google Classroom, and there's this thing called Canvas, and they turn in their assignments and they pull down their homework. They do projects on Google Docs and Google Sheets and keynote presentations and yada, 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 yada. Everything is online, absolutely everything. So for her, she's kind of gotten indoctrinated into computers are your gateway to everything else. So I think she has kind of a – I don't want to say it's a mature view of this thing, but I think she's got a very realistic view. She talks about wanting to be a scientist. And scientists will spend a certain amount of time doing data analysis and – experiment construction, and, you know, depends on whether you're theoretical or experimental, but, you know, she's definitely less interested in the engineering side of things, but more interested, I think, in the scientific analysis sort of stuff. But I don't think that she's sitting here thinking to herself, God, you know, Dad spent all day on his computer and I think that just sucks, because she does it too. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't come to me and say, ah, oh, I fucking hate this computer, Dad. Sometimes I have to pry it out of her hands. So I think she and I don't think it's – sometimes it's just stupid addictive stuff where she's watching, like, you know, Last Week Tonight with John Oliver on YouTube or whatever, which is great. But at the same time, you're like, okay, sweetie, did you get your homework done? I know you love John Oliver. He's hilarious. But let's get focused on the thing that needs to be done. So, I mean, obviously she sees the distracting side and the not distracting side as well. But I think for her, it's just sort of, this is life. This is natural. This is what Dad does. It's what I'm doing. It's what all my friends are doing. So I don't know that she sees it as good or bad or indifferent. I think it just is for her. Mm. I'm not really sure about my middle daughter. She's the one that's been homeschooled. She's actually starting public school this fall. And she hasn't spent as much time on technology as her sisters, but it's not like she spends no time on technology. She has her own iPod. She watches plenty of stuff on the iPad. She's done lots of homework on online and works through various things on there. And there's lots of homeschool resources that are online. And she does research on the computer and stuff like that. And she has a Chromebook, and she uses it a fair amount for research and looking things up. And so I think to her it's a natural tool and an extension. But she's talked about a lot of non-digital careers where she, like, wants to design a dress, you know, be like a fashion designer for a living. Then, you know, she had other ones too that was sort of like, well, okay, I don't know how realistic that is, but, you know, she wanted to be a spy. And
that's awesome.
other crazy stuff. That was her kindergarten goal, yeah. But the last ones, you know, she likes acting a lot, so she's talked about being a professional actress and, you know. So for her, I think it's just a different direction in general, and technology is not necessarily a part of those directions in the same kind of way that it is for me. You know, I think my oldest daughter has talked about, would she be into programming? She finds some certain things that are super cool about programming, and she wants to learn more and go deeper and dig and stuff like that. So, I mean, maybe someday she wants to do software. I'm not pushing it at this point. I'm going to let that be her decision. If she wants to come to me and talk about that, great. But, you know, I don't really know what specific direction she finds the most important at any given time, other than what she just comes and tells me about. So, yeah. I mean, that's kind of where they're at.
I mean, it's almost strange to think about, quote, programming for, you know, our kids that are 10 or 15 years away from having jobs. Because, I mean, what certainly programming as we know it won't really exist in 10 or 15 years. Something like it will. I mean, solving problems with logic will certainly exist forever, probably, but I don't know if, quote, programming will exist in that amount of time. So that's really interesting to think about. But So I mean, it's funny. Our kids, I don't think have they're so much younger, 5 and 7. I think
they're still in the "I want to be a spy" phase.
No, totally. I mean, my son wants to be Tony Stark. Me too.
Oh, who wouldn't?
Me too, dude. Right?
Yeah.
But it's funny, my daughter is really, really ambitious. Like, she wants to open a lemonade stand. And I'm like, hey, I don't know if that's legal here. Like, and that's kind of a weird thing to say, but like, that France is not the United States. Like, you just can't go do a lot of things here. Not like they're going to go arrest you or something, but like, I've never seen a lemonade stand here in 2 years. So like, I have to tell her like, hey, I understand like you want to make money, but I don't know if that's cool. Like, so it's a little interesting, but you know, the one thing
dude, try it out. I mean, there's laws. I only found this out about this recently because like some kids actually got cited by the police, but there are laws that say you can't do lemonade stands here in the United States. It's funny. Not all states have these, but apparently Colorado does have one, and now there's like legislators going and saying, well, this is stupid. We're going to repeal this law. We're going to pass a law to change this.
Yeah.
So that kids can do lemonade stands. Like, we want to encourage entrepreneurship.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I say just fuck it. Go for it, man.
Fuck it. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, we definitely like teach our kids about money, and they learn about money in school, which is really cool. Like, I have to tell this aside. So the kids 2 weeks ago now went on a class trip. So both my 5 and 7 year old went on a class trip for 3 nights to just outside Chamonix. It's called Les Ouches. And they went with their class. So about 50 kids and like 10 chaperones went for 3 nights. And it was like the translation is like a class of discovery. And so like they went just to like learn about kind of living on their own, and they took money and they bought things like groceries and souvenirs, and they like went out in nature and did all this kind of stuff. And it was really cool because like I see my kids coming back and now talking about like how our kids are. Like, they ask different kinds of questions now after this 3-day trip. And I don't know that like that kind of thing happens a lot in the U.S. Like, the closest thing I can think of it is I was in Boy Scouts when I was a kid. But I really like, for all the kind of ups and downs and weird stuff about the French education system, it was really cool to see like every kid in the school went. It wasn't like some of the parents were like, oh, this is weird, our kids aren't going to go. Everybody went. Everybody had a lot of fun. Everybody grew a ton, I think. And now like all the parents say the kids come back and they're like, they're not different kids, but they act a little more grown up, which is really cool to see. So like, I think living abroad, we have our own kind of unique, kind of weird set of things that we're experiencing and growing with here, but that was definitely like a very positive one. But the thing that I think about a lot with our kids, because our kids are really different. Like, my boy and girl are really different, and each of them are like Amanda and I, like my wife and I. One is like me, and one is like the other. And the interesting thing that my wife and I talk about a lot now is really loving, not just like accepting and embracing, but loving the differences and the things that your kids want to do. Like, my son wants to be Tony Stark. That's great. Like, I'd like to be Tony Stark, but if he wants to be like whatever, some really weird exotic thing, like, you got to really love that thing that they want to do. And I mean, this is kind of like general parenting, not like, you know, parents of or kids of entrepreneurial kids, but it's something I'm just starting to kind of realize. It's like, as our kids grow up and start to have personalities and opinions and perspectives on things, is like, you gotta not just be good, like, cool with it, but you have to really love it. And I think it's an easy thing to say like on the surface, but like, as you get into it more and more, that's like a tough thing to really do, I think. I don't know if you run into that at all, if that's like a little too esoteric, but yeah, I think that's a pretty general thing for most parents and families and kids. It's like, you got to figure a way to really embrace what your kids are doing. Otherwise, you're going to have these like rebellious, rambunctious kids who aren't going to be a part of your family in the future. So I don't know. That's been a lesson I've learned recently.
you may have those rebellious kids anyway because they just want to shed parental authority. I mean, or that, you know, that warm, loving embrace and get the hell out of the nest anyway. But, you know,
totally. No,
I totally agree with you. You've got to love what your kids are doing and who they are, not just accept it. You know, that's one step in the journey, but I think it's healthier for the kid if you like love them and support them and make a big deal about it. Like, you know, my middle daughter definitely does things in a very different way. And, you know, she clashes with my wife and I, and she clashes with her sisters, and she clashes with her friends, and she's kind of got a different way of doing things. But, you know, it's at the same time, she's an amazing kid. And I can't say that as a father that I just was always totally loving and embracing of this differentness of hers. It kind of had to grow on me, and it took a long time, I'm sad to say. I mean, she's 10 and a half years old, and I wasn't always loving the way that she behaved. But now I feel much better about it, and I can embrace who she is and love her for all of the crazy things that she does, and just understand she's different and is differently wired and is going to approach things in a way that's not like me or not like Tracy, and that's okay. So, and you know, getting back to your lemonade stand comment earlier, I wanted to say something. I would say one of the main differences between what you just described in France at a very tender young age. I assume this is the 7-year-olds doing this, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So 7-year-olds are going out and learning about money and budgets and spending and independence and responsibility and all of this stuff. We have no such thing like that here in the United States. In fact, they are talking about adding in like a financial savviness for life kind of class. I don't know exactly what the title of it is, but I've gotten a vague description from my 13-year-old. And it basically is a how do you manage your personal finances kind of thing. Mm. Like the one of the things I've seen this over and over and over again on Twitter, like, God, I wish I had had a class on personal finance, or God, I wish I had a class on being able to make a budget, manage my money, decide how I'm going to, you know, spend things, and just try to figure out how do I set up banking accounts and how do I do all of this stuff. You know, it's not like I had any of those formal classes. I kind of had to figure it out either, you know, watching my parents do things or seeing my other friends in those kinds of situations or just trying it out on my own and seeing what happened. But having that kind of an education is huge because generally people are very bad with money if they haven't had exposure to that sort of thing. So I think it's super important to give them experiences with that. So like, for example, this year let's flash back to last year. So last year we went to the Renaissance Festival, which is actually just a few miles from our house here, which is super awesome. And when we took the girls there, we gave them a little bit of money. Plus, they had something that they had already saved up from previous stuff. But they hadn't really been thinking about it so much. But when they got there at the Renaissance Festival, all of them were so enamored with all of the cool shit they could buy. And because of that, you know, one of them started going through her funds pretty fast. And another one was super reluctant to spend because she's like, oh, my God, there's so much cool stuff here. I'm not sure whether I should spend my money here or over there or over there, or if I'm going to find something else that we haven't gotten to yet. And I'm like, those are all very tough questions. I don't know how to give you good answers to that. You kind of have to decide whether this is important or not. And if you want to look around more, but we have a limited amount of time, we're not going to stay here all day. You know, we're going to be here for a few hours. I think we were there for like 4. And after that, we're going to leave. And it's only here once a year. We're not coming back again. So make your decisions. And I think – they went and did their things, and my oldest daughter got this really cool butterfly mask that was hand-painted leather, super beautiful, but it was pretty expensive. It was like $75 or something like that, and she only had like 100 or something to spend. And she had the most of all the girls. And the others went and got their own things, and when they all came back and they were talking about their stuff – like for the rest of the year, from June until basically now, they kept talking about, well, how can I earn money so the next time we go to the Renaissance Fair, I've got more to spend because that's that awesome. Was a really cool place. So now they're connecting the whole, hey, if I do all these crazy ass chores that dad's asking me to do and he's paying me, you know, $7 to scoop the dog's poop or $10 to go clean out his car or whatever it is. That translates later down the line to me having more stuff to go spend at the Renaissance Fair. So now we're about to go probably like next weekend is my guess. And so they're getting excited. And like my middle daughter was like the other day, she came up to me and said, Dad, can I clean your car? I'm like, okay. Do you want me to get Kira to help you? No, I want to do it myself. I'm like, why is that? Well, I get more money, right? And I said, well, if you both work on it, I'll pay both of you, but I'm not going to give you more for doing the thing on your own because I know that when she does this, she tends to get kind of distracted. So actually having them together tends to make them do a better job.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. So I said, but you know, if you want to do that way, you can do the whole thing and I'll pay you a little bit more if you do the whole thing and you do a good job. But then her sister eventually figured out that she was doing this and got involved as well. So I took care of both of them, but I was very excited to see that kind of entrepreneurial behavior. Like, I want money. How do I get that? What do I need to do to earn it so that I can turn around and enjoy this thing that's coming up that we've been talking about since last year? And I think that those kinds of moments are not as frequent as we need them to be as parents, like to teach them about money, to teach them about responsibility, to teach them about independence. So I'm excited that we got this chance, but God, I wish all of our kids had that class that your 7-year-olds did near Chamonix.
Yeah.
You know, that would be truly amazing. I think they get like small little tiny opportunities here and there, but nothing like that.
Yeah. Nothing like that. Yeah. I mean, I have to say the culture around money here is what's just very different. I mean, like the, you know, like work to live or live to work thing in France generally is very much a work to live mentality. But then they are super long-term thinking. I won't say stingy, super long-term thinking with their money. So, I mean, like, you know, somebody buys a house, they will never sell that house. You know, like houses are in families for generations here, which is really strange coming from the US. I mean, I've owned 5 houses in the US, you know, in my adult life, which is weird. But yeah, I mean, you see it like we have like the equivalent of a farmer's market in our little village every Tuesday night. And dude, you'll see kids, like my son, will go up and like, you know, I want a baguette and a brioche and a thing of brie, and he'll just go buy all this stuff. He's 5, and you know, he hands the lady the money and she hands him the change and he looks at it and they talk about it and all this. It's crazy. Like they just treat the kids like really grown up about that kind of stuff here. And it's cool. I mean, we live in a little village, so it's cool. It's not like we live in the middle of Paris where like you have to be really concerned about that stuff. So it's part of it is like the pressure is so much less, I think, here, to where people can take the time to learn that stuff like they should. So, but I mean, I think your point is really, really important that like, if you're not teaching your kids about money or just like responsibility, you know, and accountability in like a fun, creative way for little kids, especially, you're doing a disservice to them as they get older, because they'll wake up one day and realize, shit, I'm 23 and making $100,000 a year and I'm broke. And that's like the worst possible time in your life.
If your kids are making 100K at 23, come talk to me because I want to know what the hell they did. Unless they're working for Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Google, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. I think there's a lot of kids that graduate with zero skills in managing their money and being independent and responsible. And there's so many opportunities that we as entrepreneurial parents can give our kids, like the whole lemonade stand. I mean, my kids have been bugging me about the lemonade stand. The other day they went and built the signs for it. So now I got to set up the table for them so they can go out and do that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. And you got to give them these opportunities to be able to go out and make that money and be ready for all of these things so that when it counts, when the stakes are higher, they're ready to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, I guess, like bringing it full circle a little is like it's our opportunity and responsibility as parents with more flexibility and freedom and time than a lot of other parents to take the chance to participate and teach them these things. And for the, you know, uncertainty and stressful times that we have as entrepreneurs, entrepreneurial parents and family members, that the upside should be that we can like take the opportunity to teach our kids and participate with our family in these ways that people that have the 9-to-5 and travel and all this kind of crap probably can't do. So I guess that's how I would sum it up is, and that's kind of how I think about it now is like, take the time to do the things that you can do because you chose this life, and don't just piss it away answering support emails, doing all this stupid, it's not stupid shit, but sometimes it's stupid shit that doesn't really matter. And like kind of
sometimes it's stupid shit.
Yeah. And sometimes it is stupid shit, and take a step back and say like, the really important thing is X. And that's like, that's my priority today. So I guess that's how I'd sum up my feelings. So I'm glad we talked about this. This is something I've been wanting to chat about, for a while. So I'm glad we chatted about this today.
Yeah, and it was timely being just after Father's Day weekend here, since we don't podcast on the weekends. So yeah, I think that was
a good time. And happy Father's Day, man.
Oh, thank you. So for all of you parents out there in the audience, what things are you doing with your kids to teach them responsibility or an entrepreneurial spirit or about how to manage money? We'd love to hear more about it. Send us an email, podcast@roguestartups.com, or if you have a subject or question you want to ask for another show, we'd love to hear from you. And if you've got an opportunity to leave us a review in iTunes, we'd love to hear what you think of the show. Until next week.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Rogue Startups. If you haven't already, head over to iTunes and leave a rating and review for the show. For show notes from each episode and a few extra resources to help you along your journey, head over to roguestartups.com to learn more.